This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
I like that. A little rhythm, a little soul. I like that. That's a good one. Welcome back to Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. Final hour of our show today. We're broadcasting live from Chiefs training camp in St. Joe. Our coverage brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is back at the Rally House studios, and joining us now, Fieldside, the only radio station broadcasting live at Chiefs training camp, Josh Looney, the athletics director here at Missouri Western State University. Used to work for the Chiefs many years ago, and at one time, when I was at Metro Sports Television, you were a star running back at Blue Valley Northwest, and we did your game.
Back in the late 90s Huskies, you know, power right, power left, eye
formation. That's about it.
Yeah, that's what we did. Steve Harms.
Yeah, when we used to do highlights back then, somebody would edit and throw them in there, and you'd be like, is there anything exciting? What game did you go to? And they're like, oh, Blue Valley West and Blue Valley Northwest. I'm like, nah, there's going to be nothing exciting there. That's going to be straight left, straight right, and that is it.
That's good. The way football's meant to be played, power formations and hit you in the mouth. Right?
And the running backs are going to be standing straight up and running the football. That's the way
it
was.
Things have changed a little bit.
Oh, do you have a copy of that? Do you ever throw it in?
I think my folks, they live in Oakland Park. They probably have the old VHS Metro Sports Game of the Week tape. We were good teams. We were on it a bunch. So probably got a handful of those.
Fantastic. Well, you're a good Kansas City kid. You're all grown up now, but you're still a kid to me. So you have a lot of ties here. You're the AD at Missouri Western. You're a Kansas City kid, and you used to work for the Chiefs. This has to be the best 3 weeks you're going to have all year, right? You got everything.
Yeah, it's wild when you think about it. So I was with the Chiefs when we moved training camp from River Falls to St. Joseph, and remember, you know, that first camp being the one in the dorms pushing the twin beds together to make a queen bed and going from there, and now being on the other side of it and making sure we're delivering a product to help them get ready for the season. So it's neat. It's good to have been in the operational side and know what they expect. And now this is my first camp on this side, so learning exactly how we run it. But there's been 8 years of history here, and certainly Missouri Western's done a first-class job with that.
You got kicked out of your office, didn't you?
I did, yeah. Everybody moves. I mean, you know, it's our football team moves out of our locker room. The Chiefs use it, and it's a replica of what they have at Arrowhead Stadium.
The locker room you guys have is phenomenal.
It's unbelievable. I think people that haven't been in the facility here.
It's an NFL locker room and a weight room.
The Chiefs were prominent in the design and planning of our indoor in 2010. And so from the training room to where players are taped to locker rooms, all of that looks just like it does at Arrowhead. And their practice facility. So our guys enjoy a first-class experience here and don't have any problem moving out. But our whole operation shifts out. The Chiefs come in, including my office. It's now it's video headquarters. It's where they chop up all the film. And
you're not
and
allowed Pat in there, then, right?
They'll let me in there. You know, I used to go. They used to have a putting green in there. You know, so I'd go in there and putt with them. They don't have that anymore. I guess they have more equipment. But
we're talking with Josh Looney, the athletics director here at Missouri Western State University in St. Joe, as they host the Chiefs. Once again, today is Family Fun Day, and all the players are now signing autographs. Every single player has to sign autographs today. That's the deal. And I was looking at the crowds coming in. I got a back road. I got a secret back entrance to get in here. Otherwise, the cars were lined up to 36 out here. So I got the back entrance. When I look at the crowd, I mean, they're 4 and 5 deep in front of me all day today. Do you have a crowd estimate? Do you know how many people came? Because it's got to be a few thousand,
we're still counting the tickets, but we're estimating nearly 6,000.
I undersold.
And when you look at that, obviously that's about double what we had last Saturday, which was a very good crowd. And you look at the record numbers here, and back when there were two-a-days and some night scrimmages, those were some really big crowds. The Spratt Stadium record was set, I think, in year one of training camp with just over 10,000. There were some joint scrimmages with the Cardinals back in those early years. So if you take out those kind of special events, and you just go to, hey, what's a normal family fun day? What's a normal practice? This is right up there toward the top we've ever had. It's going to be in the top 10 crowds at the end of the day. So we're excited. Family Center Farm and Home's done a ton of great activation. They're about to kick a field goal over there for $10,000.
Oh, wow.
The wind just picked up, though, so it's a sterling wind, you know, so it'll be tough. But great partners, great sponsors, and the Chiefs are wonderful with making sure every player is out here signing autographs as well. Great atmosphere, and I was even having to direct some traffic out there today. We had so many cars.
Well, I was going to say, when I was out here last week, you were moving trash cans around and some of this temporary fencing. I'm like, you're the AD. Yeah, I do everything here. Everybody's got to do a little bit, right?
Really, our whole campus, from our grounds crew to our student affairs and those that work in the dorms. Multiple teams are out here. Our softball team runs parking, golf team runs concessions. Our basketball teams are running and helping with the grounds crew. So really,
awesome.
Everybody's here, and that's a cool thing. Our faculty members are teaching internship programs. We have some of our students that are working with the Chiefs. So it's a really neat deal for not only us athletically and showcasing that piece, but for our university as a whole.
We're talking with Josh Looney, the athletics director at Western State University, hosting the Kansas City Chiefs here in St. Joe. This is Sports Saturday, Sports Radio 810 WHB. I am Brad Porter. Okay, you're guessing around 6,000 people today. How many of your friends called you? Because we – look – let's be realistic about why most of the people are here. It's Patrick Mahomes the second.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, how many calls are you getting from your friends? Have you seen Patrick? Have you met Patrick? Have you seen him practice? Give me the report.
The calls, the texts. I say, hey, it's different when I was with the Chiefs. I saw every snap. I could tell you who the sixth wide receivers were.
Yes.
That were looking to break the final roster. Things have been so busy here. I've probably only seen two full 11-on-11 sessions and didn't get to see any today. But though what I've seen, I mean, obviously everybody's got their eyes on the quarterback here. Big arm. He's going to be exciting to watch. I think, people have written about, well, he's going to make some mistakes, and he probably will, but he's also going to make some really special plays that they haven't seen. And just the two team sessions I'm seeing is like every day there's some sort of 60-yard bomb he lifts over everybody
right
for a touchdown. So it's a lot of fun to watch him for sure.
I think everybody came out here waiting for the 60-yard bomb. It didn't really happen today. There was one he aired out about 45 or 50, but it was a busted play, and he was just winging it, and it wasn't really going anywhere. I think everybody came here expecting
it. Everybody
wanted
to see it.
Yes.
Well, if they come back tomorrow, they'll probably see it because it seems like he's been doing it most days.
So now that you've been away from the Chiefs for several years now, right?
Yeah, so I left right after the camp in 2012, went on to the NCAA and worked in Division II there for a few years, was an athletic director out on the East Coast at Division II school, and then have been at Missouri Western here for the last year. So really transitioning from pro to college sport. And, a lot of faces have changed here, but a lot of the core people that have been involved in training camp have stayed the same, and that's been really neat to work with them again.
So when you were working for NCAA Division II and now here at Missouri Western, instead of working for the Chiefs, when you were on Sundays or Monday Night Football, Thursday Night, whatever, you were working on game days. So now do you enjoy just being able to sit back with either your friends or your family and just take in a game and not have to worry about anything else?
Oh, no doubt. That part's
right.
The best thing. And you can't complain about work when you're working for a pro team. That was a ton of fun as well. But, I got to go to the playoff game last year, that Chargers game that was on Saturday night. My parents are season ticket holders.
Right.
So, no, it's neat to be able to just go enjoy it like a fan and see that and then see people you know. So it's really neat.
We were talking about the hype train for Patrick Mahomes II. I don't know how far you went back with the Chiefs, but I was there for the Joe Montana days.
Okay.
It's probably ahead of your time.
Just a little, yeah. My first year was Herm's first year.
So I've heard stories. I think Grunny has shared these stories, Tim Grunhardt, about, whenever he went to a bar in River Falls, whether it was Bo's and mine or coaches or whatever, if Joe Montana got up to go to the bathroom, somebody would steal his beer bottle just so they could say, I've got Joe Montana's beer bottle. And he said, and Grunny said people would hide under his car waiting for Joe Montana to come out so they could pop out and meet him. I don't think it's that crazy with Patrick Mahomes II. Plus, I don't think you can get anywhere near the players' cars anymore. But the hype is right about that level in terms of excitement and people drawn to him and want to be around him.
Oh, we're standing here in front of us is, the lines looking for players and autographs, and you see they're all looking for the quarterback and kind of, stampeding on to where he is. Tyreek Hill just finished signing as well. No, the hype with Joe Montana's funny. I was in River Falls for, probably four training camps, and some pizza place, the name escapes me, but on the cover
all the
of their menu,
it's Steve's Pizza.
It's Steve's Pizza. It's really, really good. Quote from Joe Montana, the Kansas City Star, and that was their claim to fame, and people still came in there saying, well, Joe Montana says this pizza's really, really good.
Yeah.
So they go in there, so the hype of Montana lived on well past his time.
Here's a funny story. So the last year in River Falls, right, I'm there with a couple other guys, and we go to Steve's Pizza. I had never been there, and I flipped over the menu, and it says, Joe Montana has eaten pizza all around the world. He's not sure if he's had any better than Steve's Pizza. And then the quote, it's really, really good. They make it with a round crust or a thin crust or something. And I thought it was so funny because it was like, 10, 15 years after he was gone. And that quote is so funny. And I asked the lady, I said, can I buy this menu? And she goes, we don't have enough menus. We can't sell it to you. We go back to the dorm room, and one of the guys I was with, I won't, in case of the theft statute of limitations isn't over yet, the guy I was with comes out and he goes, hey, here, I got the menu. And I was like, she told me I couldn't have one. And he goes, yeah, I stole it.
So you've got a little piece of River Falls history still
yes,
with you.
That is the funniest thing I've ever seen written on a menu.
That's awesome.
All right, so Family Fun Day is today. How long are you going to let folks be out here? I mean, there's so many people.
Yeah, no, the players will end up signing well past that final horn, and they'll probably stay out here close to an hour, and all the bounce houses and the kids zone and the things that Family Center Farm and Home is doing on our stadium field will be open well into the lunch hour. So we'll let people stay and enjoy themselves. And there's an after party as people head out that's at Family Center Farm and Home. I know cheerleaders will be there. Casey Wolf, they'll have free food, more autograph signings. So, heck, people can go over there and stay till 4 o'clock if they want.
Wow.
There'll be something going
on.
That'll
be very
neat.
You have assorted beverages, correct? I think I've seen assorted beverages over there.
Yeah, over there they do. Today was family fun here. So,
yes,
yeah.
Absolutely. But you mentioned the field goal for $10,000, and I'll just – if you want to know, the flags are really waving right now. So whoever gets this $10,000 chance at a kick is going to be really ticked off that the wind just kicked
They're going to have to play the wind. There's no doubt. They're going to have to play it strong.
They're going to have to dig out some, like, Pete Stoyanovich video and figure out how to guide it against the wind. I mean, this could be a fade or a draw situation here very easily. So now that you're the AD here at Missouri Western, how much do you enjoy still having that working relationship with the Chiefs since you worked there?
It's been very positive. So I guess kind of the reality, you get excited when you get a job and opportunity to lead an athletic department. And my intro press conference, the first question I got after everything shut down, KC Star came and said, hey, what's your thought on the future of Chiefs camp? So the first
right,
assignment was
one.
There was no contract. I started on August 1st last year, and it was, all right, go into negotiations to extend camp. And those negotiations were very positive. You know, Mark Donovan, I actually worked and reported to him 2 years that I was with the Chiefs, and then going to start those negotiations and sitting across from him. But good relationships, people that you know and trust and work with. And like I said, there's a history of 8 years of just rolling out the red carpet for the Chiefs, St. Joseph community loving having the Chiefs here, our campus. So I'd say the hard piece of that was already done. And so I walked in and was able to work with them. We ironed some things out, and so we extended the contract for camp here for this year, and then we have a mutual option to extend it in 2019, which would be the Chiefs' 10th training camp.
Well, I think that's what everybody wants to know. Will we have an announcement soon, or does that thing happen later in the fall? Or you know, I'll just put you on the spot.
It's fine. We'll end up getting with the Chiefs right when this camp ends, and we'll debrief things. And then typically we'll get together a few times in the fall. I mean, I guess it could be quick. It could be whenever our schedules allow. That was a thought, you know. Mark had said at last camp, hey, we hope to have an announcement in a few weeks, and schedules just didn't line up, and we ended up announcing it, I think, in late December, early January.
Right.
but that wasn't because, hey, we had a ton of knockdown, drag-out
right.
negotiations. It was just getting the schedules together. And obviously our football team reports tomorrow. Our volleyball team did today. So just as they're getting ready for their real deal, so
right.
are we here. So we'll get together and hope to have some more positive discussions and talk about extending that mutual option.
All right, we're talking with Josh Looney, the athletics director at Missouri Western State University, once again hosting the Chiefs in St. Joe. Josh is a Blue Valley Northwest kid, used to work for the Chiefs. So let me do some PR for your program. I mean, I've been through the facilities. I know what the locker rooms look like. I know what the weight rooms look like, the offices. I mean, there are probably Division I programs that don't have what you guys have. Your facility is just fantastic.
Well,
it's off the charts. The indoor, too, is just awesome.
Yeah, we're fortunate. We're some of the best facilities in the country at the Division II level. I would say what's really neat about us, and pound for pound, and this, so you take the big FBS schools and all the way to the NAIA schools. Pound for pound, I don't think there's been a bigger transformation in athletics over the last 8 years anywhere in the country. When Chiefs Camp first came and that indoor facility was built, our baseball and softball fields were in a parking lot. The stadium was probably one of the worst in the MIAA, had not been renovated in years. And you look at what's happened from 2010 to 2018, and you just stand on that field. We've got a massive video board that was the biggest in Division II for a bit.
I can't believe that video board.
We,
Unbelievable.
Totally renovated stadium with luxury suites and stadium club and chairback seating, a $14 million indoor practice facility. 2 weeks ago, we just dedicated the Bill Snyder Pavilion to Coach Snyder.
That's right, I saw that.
St. Joseph native. He was out here. It's it encloses our end zone on the west side and will be an amazing game day atmosphere for us. You look, the Mosaic Life Care Training Fields is fine of a practice field surface in the country. New baseball and softball complex opened in 2011. Absolutely beautiful state-of-the-art facilities there. Our basketball arena, just we redid all the seating and painting and branding in there. It's going to look brand new here when we open up for volleyball in about 6 weeks. So when you take a look, really every single thing we have is brand new. The only thing we have is 8 years old.
Which Everything's
is,
shiny.
It's really neat. And I think, obviously, the Chiefs helped kickstart that. But I think for campus pride and people giving to the institution, and there's been a sense of pride that's not a coincidence with when Chiefs camp came here. And over 300,000 people have visited camp over that period of time. So it's put us on the map. People, if they haven't been to Missouri Western since before 2010, come on out. It is a totally different look than what you remember in the 90s, 80s, and 70s.
Okay, so let me ask you this. That massive video board over the football stadium, which we can see here from our broadcast location, has the coach, has the head coach, or have you ever caught one of the running backs or wide receivers on a breakaway running down the field looking at himself on the video?
Oh, yeah. It happens
all the time?
For sure. It's, They got to get used to that. In our league, there's video boards popping up all over, so they've got to get used to that piece just like the pros do, and maybe they can use it to their advantage. But most of the time they don't. They just want to see themselves, and then it probably slows them down, right?
Now, being the former running back, you ever get out there and maybe turn the cameras and the big screen on and grab a ball and run and watch yourself?
Well, you know, running back in high school and then played linebacker in college, so I'd rather just turn it on to the guys hitting the running backs now. No, the way I was played was just, get the shoulders low and go 3 yards. I wasn't fast enough to look up at a board. It was just hope to run over the guy in front, get 5 yards, and then power right again and go right back.
We're talking with Josh Looney, the athletics director here at Missouri Western State, hosting the Kansas City Chiefs once again, hoping to bring him back next year. I love this T-shirt, by the way. This lady has a T-shirt on that says, "I love that my husband understands how I feel about Travis Kelce."
That's and on the back, Kelce 87.
That's hilarious.
And she's got her husband right next to her
awesome.
Saying, yes, I understand how she feels.
You know what? We were talking about great throwback jerseys that people wear around here. I saw Brandon Flowers today, which was great. I don't think that's a throwback yet. He's not that old. But
he retired this year.
Yeah,
so
maybe it is a throwback. That's right. I did see for the first time a Joe Delaney jersey today.
That's a good one. And I saw an Ed Podolak. That was a good one.
Did you? Iowa guy.
Now, it was a custom-made, newer jersey. Right. But still, Podolak. I love it rocking.
I don't think you could do much better than Joe Delaney. I mean, that's pretty strong right there.
I really like when you see the ones that are the true jerseys that are faded out. I think I saw Jerron Cherry one out there a few practices back, and that wasn't a renovated jersey. Right. That was an original, which is pretty cool.
I saw Willie Davis that was just about ready to look pink because the red had been washed and sweat through so many times. So, hey, Josh Looney, thank you very much. I appreciate you coming over here. And, boy, congratulations on all the great facilities here and taking over. And hopefully we hear a big announcement sometime in the next couple of months that the Chiefs will be coming back here to St. Joe.
Yeah, thank you. And thanks for being here and broadcasting. All these people turn out. It's awesome for our university.
6,000 people today. Not a final number yet, but just a rough estimate. All right, we're live at Chiefs training camp in St. Joe. The wind is really whipping up now that the practice is coming to a close and the autograph signing is wrapping up. Our training camp coverage is brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, Kansas Sampler. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is back at the Rally House Studios. And we'll be back with more right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Saturday flow as we head towards the final half hour here on Sports Sunday. Sports Radio 810 WHB. We are broadcasting live in St. Joe at Chiefs training camp. Our training camp coverage brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. My name is Brad Porter. Jed Marshall is spinning the tunes back in our Rally House studios. Who was that, Jed?
This is Logic featuring Wiz Khalifa. This is an everyday vibe. The song is called Indica Badu.
See, I should know this, or I should at least be able to guess it, because you play Logic quite a bit.
I do. I think I've played 2 Logic songs already today.
Yeah. I should know better by now. I should pick up on these things.
Well, being the instrumental without having the lyrics, how would you know?
I like it.
Oh, yeah.
Like
Jay Dilla beat. I'm trying to keep, like you said, the training camp flow. Rudy said that I saw on Twitter earlier that he had mentioned, maybe from a day or two ago, that he really liked the music out there at training camp. So I was talking with him, and he said that they were playing a lot of hip-hop. So I figured that I'd mix in some good hip-hop jams that I'm liking recently.
Sometimes they mix in, like, some old-school stuff, like Earth, Wind, and Fire. They'll mix in that.
Yeah.
Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
They mix that in once in a while. So I like all that stuff. I was listening to some 80s music today. Oh, what was the song I heard? It was Free Fallin', Tom Petty.
Oh, nice.
And
R.I.P.
I almost went all Jerry Maguire and started, you know, screaming and pounding the steering wheel while I was singing it.
But you had your dog with you. Wouldn't that have freaked out your dog?
Yeah, she was sleeping in the passenger seat.
But if you would have been pounding on the steering wheel and the dash and all that stuff, man.
She would have been upset.
Yeah.
The one that, I tell you what, the song I heard today that I don't hear often enough. Well, anything by Tina Turner is fantastic. But What's Love Got to Do with It? I mean, that era, Tina Turner, she was the biggest singer in the world. Other than maybe her and Michael Jackson.
Some might argue Prince is in there.
That might have been a tad before Prince by a couple of... I'd have to look up and see when that album was released, but that album had, God, so many hits. She's fantastic. Whoa! Sorry. We had one of the gates almost hit us from behind, Jed, so I didn't mean to frighten anybody who might be listening.
Well, I appreciate Josh Looney coming on, and it's obviously great that he's had so much success. I've known Josh for, 25 years.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you'd think that he could at least get the gates figured out there.
Well,
nice enough to broadcast out there, bring him on, talk about Missouri Western, and he's trying to hurt Brad Porter. What is that
about? Well, this particular gate is not attached to any other gate. It's just by itself, and a huge gust of wind, and there it goes again. Thank gosh Charlie Carlin is back to play gate catcher. Is that what we call you, gate catcher? You can be a gate crasher.
Gatekeeper. That's from
Ghostbusters,
okay, Brad.
I'm the gatekeeper. Yeah,
now you just need to find the keymaster.
Yeah, exactly. I saw a kid with a Ghostbusters shirt on today.
Nice. I have a Ghostbusters shirt as well.
8, 9, 10-year-old kid with a Ghostbusters shirt. Rocking that. I like that. There's a throwback jersey.
That is awesome. The only thing is my fear would be that the kid probably saw the awful, not that there's anything wrong with an all-woman ensemble, but he probably saw the reboot of Ghostbusters and doesn't know the true brilliance of the 1984 classic Ghostbusters with Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Harold Ramis, and Ernie Hudson.
That movie might have been the first time I ever heard a certain curse word, which obviously I can't say. And when I was a kid, and when I saw it, I was like, oh my God, people talk like that? And now it's, you know, it's very commonplace.
That's been my favorite movie since I can remember. And I would watch it all the time as a little kid. And my parents, God bless them, would both sit there, and, you know, whoever was watching me would sit and watch it. And as I grew up, I'm like, no wonder you guys would sit and watch this with me. This movie's hilarious because there's so many things you obviously don't understand as a kid. You grow up, you're like, oh, that's real funny. I wouldn't have gotten that when I was 4.
I wonder what it would cost. And I'm sure everybody in that movie was very well compensated at the time because that was a big budget, big studio movie. So if you were to put together that cast again, minus Harold Ramis, obviously, because he passed away. But when you get in Bill Murray and Sigourney Weaver and Rick Moranis, and I'm leaving out somebody.
Ernie Hudson.
Ernie Hudson, and might be one other one. But you put
Dan.
Did
you say Dan Aykroyd?
I did not. That's where I was missing one. If you were to assemble that cast today for a movie completely not Ghostbusters related, but just a funny movie, how much would it cost to get that cast together?
Oh, many millions of dollars. But it'd be so worth it. All of the movies that come out nowadays are so bad that I would...
Right.
I mean, it's not my money, so hey, give all these good actors reasons to do funny things. Don't put out more crap like Fast and the Furious.
I was reading an article about how movie producers and people who run movie studios are just, they have a hatred for Rotten Tomatoes, which is, if you don't know Rotten Tomatoes, it's the where you can, they give a rating to every movie and people vote on it. And it's also based on critics and what they think about the movie. So it's a combination of factors. And people that run movie studios hate Rotten Tomatoes because if they give you a low score, it's like on a 100% scale, right? So if you get like a 40% or, you know, a 20%, their numbers, their income is directly reflected in the ratings on Rotten Tomatoes. And so they had this big, long article I read about, you know, how all these people in Hollywood hate Rotten Tomatoes. And the guy who runs Rotten Tomatoes fired back, maybe you should quit making crap movies. Maybe you should make better movies. If you get good ratings, people will, if you make a good movie, people will come and see it regardless of what Rotten Tomatoes says. But if you have a real stink bomb, nobody's going to see it.
There are too many of those.
And that the latest Ghostbusters, I didn't get to see it, so I have no
Kate McKinnon was in it. She's funny.
I love Kate McKinnon. I just love Kate McKinnon. But the reviews and people I've heard from who have seen it did not care for it.
Sounds about right.
The movie I want to see right now is Mission Impossible Fallout. I've been talking about it for 2 weeks, and I still have not been able to see it, but the reviews have been off the charts fantastic.
You love Tom Cruise for some weird reason, Brad.
Is
it because you're a Scientologist?
No.
Hmm.
Not even close.
But I saw you reading some L. Ron Hubbard literature the other day. That
must have been
mistaken.
I stole that off Rudy's desk. I think he's a quiet Scientologist.
Rudy
maybe.
Salad Bar.
Yeah.
maybe we should squell the Scientology and movie talk and maybe talk a little bit about what's been happening out at Chiefs training camp today. You can give me a better report.
I was only going to say that Eyes Wide Shut sucked. That was a bad movie. So the practice is wrapped up. The players are now done with the autograph period. They were out here for a long time, and every player was signing autographs out here at Family Fun Day. And Josh Looney, the athletics director who just joined us, he'll get us the final number, but they were estimating about 6,000 people out here today, which is phenomenal. And he said they were not expecting that many people, and so they had to open up some back parking lots that they normally don't use, which Jed and Charlie Carlin just sat down. I don't know if you guys will agree, but I think it's directly related to the Patrick Mahomes II effect. If Alex Smith was back for another year, they wouldn't have had 6,000 people out here today.
They had a good team coming back last year with Alex Smith as the quarterback, and Josh said that the numbers are far greater than that. Some might even say that the team was in a better position. It depends, again, on which side of the Patrick Mahomes debate you want to rage on. But last year, I mean, you're talking about a veteran guy. What was that? What would that have been? Alex Smith's fifth year in the offense. You had Tyreek Hill.
Sixth year, maybe?
I think it was his fifth. It doesn't matter. But the point is that the team was in a lot of people's eyes, a better position to win. You weren't counting on as many rookies on the defensive side of the ball. You had guys maybe maturing into a prime with a quarterback who you knew was going to take care of the ball. And this year, with the excitement of Patrick Mahomes, you're obviously seeing just how excited the fans are, and I think the crowds that they're getting out in St. Joe reflect that.
Charlie, you were over at the media tent, which is on the opposite side of the field of our broadcast location. When you were over there, were the quarterbacks over in that area signing autographs today? Were you able to see?
I couldn't really tell.
I couldn't find Mahomes. I just know there were huge crowds moving around. So.
Yeah, I couldn't really tell. There were kids chanting all sorts of names. Okay. I definitely heard Tyreek's name a lot. And I think I heard Sammy Watkins' name, and I think Harrison Butker. I don't know about Patrick Mahomes being over there.
Oh, people are clamoring for the Harrison Butker.
Yeah, they were, you know, a bunch of people yelling out butt kicker and all that stuff. And yeah, it was so the Chiefs did a great job with having the fans interact with the players after practice. But I guess I can give you kind of a synopsis of what the podium is, because I'm struggling to send the very large file.
Okay.
It's stuck in the cloud, I guess, but I'm trying to send it to Jed, but it's not working currently right now. But yeah, Dave Tobe started out. He
special teams coach.
Mm-hmm. He came out and just answered a bunch of questions about the new rules.
Okay.
And how you cannot get a running start on kickoffs anymore.
Right.
And how that's going to,
I think, is a good idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like it too. I'm just glad that they're not getting rid of the kickoff because, yes, it's a violent play.
They're still going to talk about
I just like it. It starts off the game. It's an intense play. Chiefs got some fast guys that can take it all the way, so that makes it even more exciting. But he answered some questions about that, said that it would really affect the onside kick, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, because you couldn't run to
right,
where the
right.
kicker's gonna
get the ball. So you might see a few less onside kicks this year.
Okay,
Just kind of answered a few more questions about that. There was one other question for Tobe that they're kind of thrown off by the no competition.
Okay.
This year because there's only one punter.
Right.
Colquitt, there's only one kicker. Butker, there's
usually
only...
Usually they bring in somebody else.
Yeah.
Wasn't Butt Kicker brought in to challenge Cairo Santos?
He was. And,
or they already decided not to re-sign.
I think there was a... I can't remember.
There was
competition. There was a short overlap there.
Right.
Cairo got hurt and then...
That's right, yeah.
And then they brought in Butker. Right. Almost said Butt Kicker. But, So just answered a few questions about that, and seems like they're gonna mix in some guys who's gonna return the punts and kicks. That was interesting. And then Bob Sutton stepped up there too.
Let me ask one more question about Tobe. Was he asked again about whether or not Tyreek Hill is gonna be the number one punt returner?
He was, but he didn't really give a definitive answer on that. He said that they're just kind of mixing in guys and seeing who would be the best qualified for that. I mean, Tyreek probably is the best qualified for that, but, you know.
Right.
It's they're mixing DeMarcus Robinson in, probably. I mean, they could even put Sammy Watkins back there,
right.
too.
Charlie, has there been any talk or did anyone follow up with Dave Tobe about Tre'Von Smith? I know that a lot of people have been really excited about his speed and what he can do both in the kick return and punt return game.
Yeah, he kind of mentioned his name when within the mix of punt returns and kick returns, but nothing really specific with him. And by the way, of course, this wind
it's
picks
like
up
30
like
miles an hour. Now.
Yeah, it just picks up like crazy. Of course, when the press conferences start.
Sure.
So I hope that the recording I got isn't just wind, but so that was Dave Tobe, and then Bob Sutton stepped up for a little bit and answered some questions about. Defense and rotations, he was kind of hard to hear, so I can't really give too much about him, but he answered as many questions as he could. Kind of the defensive line has looked very well, very good, and linebackers are kind of they're mixing in the rotations without Hitchens in there right now, so they're kind of trying out some new guys.
Or Ragland, too.
Seriously. Two of the, I mean, definitely the two best linebackers they have, probably. Are out right now, and they're excited about the secondary. I know that they're excited to have Barry back, obviously, and Barry's been kind of teaching the young guys, and I'm surprised at the lack of questions about Kendall Fuller. It seems like people are pretty confident in him.
Everybody, like the people who know what they're talking about,
said
that they're just blown away by his ability to change direction and his feet, because you're in that slot position, you're not running straight like on the outside. You got a sideline to help you play defense. In the slot, though, you got to go either way.
Right.
And his feet and change of direction have been phenomenal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Sutton seemed pretty excited about the secondary, or as much excitement as Sutton shows.
Yeah.
You know,
Charlie, what was the tenor of the question like overall? Because I know that there's been a lot made of just how bad the defense was last year, and a lot of people have shown vitriol at Bob Sutton returning. So I didn't know if the questions were more probing. I know that you mentioned he's kind of hard to hear because he tends to whisper, even though he's.
Yes.
Speaking to a group of, you know, 15 reporters.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't know if that people were more pressing of him. I know you had mentioned the excitement about the secondary and him giving glowing reviews of that, and obviously having a better front seven working in concert, the defensive line being able to get to the pressure, having those guys cover for less time. It all works in concert. Did anybody kind of press upon that?
There wasn't a lot of questions about Bob Sutton's role, I guess, specifically, but they mentioned a lot. He mentioned a couple times about how this defense has changed so much and how they just keep mixing in as many guys as they can and trying to find the best combination possible. But as far as that, not really too much.
Well, you know, they got to get Sam Mellinger back up here because Sam wrote that column that said, well, Bob Sutton should have been fired last year.
Yeah.
But since he's here, they have to figure out how to move on.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And it's almost like he's off the hook a little bit because his defense has changed so much.
Right.
So
fresh start.
Yeah, fresh start for him. I mean, I think he's got a lot to prove this year.
Right.
Or he's done.
I don't consider it a fresh start because he's still got to prove it. But technically, with all the new players, it's kind of a fresh start.
Mm-hmm.
What do you guys think, though? Because Ragland, obviously, we know has had his knee issue, and then Hitchens is banged up now. We're still a couple of weeks away from, obviously, the beginning of camp. If the Chiefs go into the situation like they did last year, where they lose Eric Berry and they're kind of decimated by injuries, and let's say Hitchens misses a couple of games and Ragland isn't really ever healthy, and, you know, Justin Houston, for whatever reason, gets nicked up, or Dee Ford, who's had a history of injuries, would that still give Bob Sutton, at least in your two's mind, any reason for pass? Or are there enough guys drafted on the defensive end this past year and enough young guys that should be able to step in regardless of injuries, and Bob Sutton really is coaching for his defensive coordinator's position?
If your team spent every single draft pick on defensive players, now Reggie McKenzie not, because they're going to move him to offensive line, or they already have, but if they spent a whole draft on your side of the ball, and you're expecting, you know, you talked about the linebackers being so banged up, but if you can't get Tano Passanio to step up in his second year, can't get something out of Dorian O'Daniel and, you know, the guys that Breland speaks, and those guys, there's no free pass. They drafted everything for you, and no excuse. Injuries are not an excuse anymore. You've got depth, and you got good players. There is no free pass. If they start the season with Ragland and Hitchens hurt, which I'm not saying that'll happen. I mean, they just missed a couple of practices. But no free pass for me, not in my book.
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. I mean, most of us were calling for him to be fired last year.
Right.
And obviously we kind of have to see how things play out and see how those injuries play out and everything. But you kind of just got to pay attention to how he's using the formations and how he's adjusting to those injuries if they happen. And if he doesn't, I know he would be limited if there were injuries, but if he doesn't adjust properly, then yeah, there's definitely no free pass. He's got to be able to adjust, and that's one of the biggest criticisms I think I've had of him. He hasn't just been able to adjust to the setbacks or some of the injuries that have happened. Yeah, he's got a lot to prove this year.
Yeah, so there you go, Jed. No free passes from out here. Would you cut him a free pass if he had injuries, Jed?
I'm on the phone.
Okay, sorry. That's Jed Marshall. He's back at the Rally House Studios. He's on the phone right now. My name is Brad Porter. Charlie Carlin is out here as well. We're live at Chiefs training camp in St. Joe, where, man, these wind gusts are just...
Oh, they're crazy.
I had to
put the gate down because it kept trying to attack us here.
I turned around into the wind a few minutes ago and got a dust all over my eyes and on my contacts. Man alive, hurt. So you talked about Bob Sutton a little bit. Who else...
Clark Hunt actually stepped up.
What did Clark Hunt have to say?
He was just talking about how excited they are to have camp here, and he was also kind of hard to hear, but he said that they're...
He's kind of a low talker.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Because I was, you know, doing the Facebook Live stuff, which I hope that turned out well as well. But, he said that they love being in St. Joe. They like... Cause they
said all the right things.
Mm-hmm, yeah, pretty much. Said all the right things. Yeah, exactly. And said that... a lot of teams do their camps at their facilities, but he likes to bring the Chiefs away for like 3 to 4 weeks or whatever to kind of get them team bonding, I guess, in the dorms and stuff like that. And he thinks it brings the group together a little bit. And he answered some questions. So he got a few questions about all the national anthem stuff, which I wasn't expecting him to get. He kind of just...
What was his answer?
He said that he's just kind of waiting on the NFL's policy and their because, you know, they're still in discussions with everything.
Write the policy,
right, exactly. So he didn't really give a very neutral answer on all of it, which, you know, you would expect him to. But it's kind of interesting because we're technically still waiting on the ruling of all that.
Right.
Kind of stuck in the middle of all that.
After the last statement by the NFL saying that players would stand or teams would be allowed to suspend their... The Dolphins were going to suspend players for up to four games.
Mm-hmm.
The Cowboys were talking about it as well. Jerry Jones, I think his plastic surgery is leaking into his brain when you hear him talk sometimes. But they went. Now they're talking with the NFLPA, the Players Association, about what to do.
which is what they should have done originally.
They should have done it last year, two years ago. My God, the NBA has had this settled for years. The players will stand at usually the free throw line or in front of the bench, and if you have social issues that are important to you, let's help. The league will help the players. Here's money. Here's some programs. Let's connect you to the people who can make something happen. The NBA has had no issue with this. Mm-hmm. I think the last guy I can remember was Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf years ago, who did not want to stand. And they settled this. This has been settled a long time ago. People like Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, so forward-looking. And he gets the owners on board. They buy into what he's doing. I mean, the first one is in to support legalized gambling across the country. They've already got a contract with MGM. They're so far ahead of everybody else.
Really
and the
are.
NFL comes up. And look, regardless of where you stand on the issue, not going to argue one way or the other because you're not going to – minds are not being changed right now, okay? So regardless of where you stand on the issue, the NFL comes off like a bunch of old, rich, white guys that don't want to change.
Yep.
That's probably because they are.
That's what I said. It's because they are. And that's why, I mean, Clark Hunt isn't that old, but it's kind of the old guys network. And the NBA owners, you know, they have no problem with it. How does the NBA have all these owners agree to everything and make it so easy and get along with the players? The NFL owners are doing everything they can to force a work stoppage in 2021. They're doing everything wrong. Unbelievable.
They do.
Anyway, that was my rant.
The NBA does have smaller rosters to deal with. They only have 13 guys as opposed to 53, and then you throw on, what, five more with the practice squad. But still, the issue that Brad, you and I have talked about, and Charlie, you may have even been on the remotes with us when we've been doing that, but it's the fact that the NBA recognizes how to grow their game, how to get out of the way, and how to make sure that everybody continues to make money. The NFL's problem is that the owners and a select handful of players make a ton of money, and then they just want everybody else to kind of work for, again, money that all of us would trade checks for. But in the grand scheme in professional athletics, is pennies on the dollar.
Mm-hmm. Right. You have your quarterbacks who make 20 to 30 million, depending on your level. You have your wide receivers or running backs that can make, you know, 8 to 10, or in the case of Le'Veon Bell, 14. You have your star safeties and corners who make big money, and defensive ends, pass rush, edge rushers make big money. And then you're right. There are a lot of guys who don't make that much. And I'm not, like I said, not selling short the fact these guys make six figures, okay? But your career is, on average, 3 years. Okay, you make your $300,000 a year. A lot of guys down roster, they're out at the spick. Guys at the top, raking it in. Guys in the middle, okay. Guys at the bottom, man, tough way to go. On that note, we will take our final timeout here on Sports Saturday. We are broadcasting live from Chiefs Training Camp in St. Joe, Missouri, on the campus of Missouri Western State. Our training camp coverage is brought to you by Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. My name is Brad Porter. Charlie Carlin is out here with me. Jed Marshall is at the Rally House Studios. Back with one final segment right after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Said it last week and I'll say it again. You got a song with a strong bass line. You got me.
Mm-hmm.
You sold me. That's down. What is that one, Jed? I'm going to be embarrassed when you tell me, I know.
That's a song by Kendrick Lamar called King Kunta.
Okay.
I had someone actually during the break a few minutes ago give me some musical suggestions. So I guess maybe not feeling my choices today.
Oh.
Don't you love that, Jed?
Volunteer producer?
I do, actually. I think it's very funny whenever people are like, hey, your music stinks today. I'm like, well, that's too bad. I'm going to keep playing it.
The funny part about that is, look, I love loyal listeners. I'm not going to crack on a listener, you know, whatever. But it's funny in that we can only play, like, what, 15 to 30 seconds of that song? So it's not like we're playing 3 and 4 minute songs that you don't like. It's like 15 to 30 seconds.
I let him ride a little bit longer, but it's normally like 45
to
a minute at most. And if I ever play hip hop, it's always a clean version or an instrumental version. So there's nothing offensive in any of the songs that I play.
Oh, I told you last night, we were texting late, and I told you that I was going through the Entourage playlist on YouTube.
Yes, I'll mix some of those in tomorrow. I'm sorry.
In addition, oh no, that's okay. What I was going to say is, in addition to a couple of the songs that I texted you, there are a lot of really good hip hop songs that were in Entourage, but so many of them we couldn't play.
Oh yeah.
I was listening to them. I'm like, wow, I forgot how filthy that song was.
It's a great show, by the way.
I liked it. It was good the first, how many seasons was it? I'm a guy who can't remember.
Seven seasons.
Yeah, I think it was eight seasons.
Eight.
Yes. I bet it was good for four seasons,
it did kind of die off
and then,
towards the end.
Oh my. It went downhill. What was the last big motion picture they made? Was it Aquaman?
Yeah, I think so.
And then,
no, because Vince went on after he was in drug rehab, and he started dating Sasha Gray, the adult film actress in the series. And he went like bankrupt and couldn't get any gigs after Medellin. And then he goes on and he gets his career back in line and ends up making like The Great Gatsby or something. But yeah, that was when the series was not that good. So if you guys didn't keep watching to that point, I don't blame you. I sadly did.
They became characters of themselves. They were no longer the because I mean, look,
they just kind of tried too hard towards the end. So they ran out of ideas, I guess.
Yeah, when the show first started, they were kind of the sweet innocent kids from Queens who came out because Vinny's brother had been in Hollywood and was kind of a struggling actor, so they were all going to go hang out, and they were kind of cool. I mean, Turtle was Turtle, and you know, he's the fat guy that wears the hats that drives the car, and E was, you know, the agent wannabe and was failing and stumbling, and Vinny was just the good-looking guy who just kind of shows up to be good-looking.
Mm-hmm.
And then it went down rabbit holes they didn't have to go down with the dating Sasha Cohen, and
Sasha Gray, Brad, get it right.
Or Sasha Gray.
In case people are out there trying to search, you don't want them going to see Sasha Baron Cohen, who played Borat.
I was going to say, I got my Sashas mixed. I should have said Sasha Kleistian, the soccer player. But or Sasha Victorine, who played for the Wizards, actually. But it was kind of like the end of The Sopranos. It was too much about the psychological problems that Tony was having, where he'd walk out to his backyard swimming pool and see the ducks. He got all depressed and it just went so many wrong directions. That show ended badly, and the finale was awful. Don't at me on that. That was an awful finale.
Did you see the movie?
Oh, no, no, I was talking about the Sopranos finale. It was awful.
Oh.
I did see the Entourage movie. That was not good.
Wow, that looked like such a turd. You sat through 2 hours of that?
Yeah, it was not good. I had to force myself to watch it because it was on cable, and every preview I saw of it, I'm like, oh, this is going to be even more cheeseball than the last couple of seasons. But I watched it, and it was terrible. Talk about Rotten Tomatoes, that's a 0.4% for me. Yeah, that was not a good movie. Mm-hmm. They always talk about making a Sopranos movie, and then it got far enough away from it to where they just weren't going to do it, and then obviously
seems like one of those things you just shouldn't touch.
Yeah.
Was a movie.
They always talked about making a Homicide movie, too, which was a great TV show. That would have been awesome.
Another David Simon project.
That was – Homicide is the most – underrated, untalked about TV show of all time.
I'll tell you what I'd go for would be an Arrested Development movie.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's a great show.
Andre Brower, one of the greatest actors of our generation. Hands down. Hands down. All right, we're just about out of time today. I want to thank all of our fine guests today who joined us while we're broadcasting from Chiefs training camp up in St. Joe. Thanks to Nick Garcia, former Sporting KC Wizards defender. Big game tonight. Sporting KC down at Houston. You can hear it live here on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Pregame show at 7:30, kickoff at 8, and then Davey B will have the postgame coverage, the final whistle at 10 o'clock. Also, thanks to Nick Jacobs, 41 Action News. He's been out here to Chiefs camp quite a bit. He's also got the new podcast with Todd Palmer and Mick Schaefer called 4th and 1. I think D Jackson's on there too. So all the guys at 41, I think, are on there. Ryan Marshall probably too. And thanks to Josh Looney, the athletics director here at Missouri Western State in St. Joe, hosting the Chiefs once again. Josh is a Kansas City guy, so always good to see him doing great things. Coming up tomorrow on the show, we are expecting to connect live in person here in St. Joe, former Chiefs running back Larry Johnson. Ooh. I've been texting him the last couple of days. He said he's going to be here. He said, how about 9:30? So we'll hopefully make that happen tomorrow. Jarrett Sutton, former Missouri Tiger great, is going to join us to talk college basketball and NBA. And Nate Bukady will join us and talk a little Sporting KC based on what happens tonight in Houston.
I wonder what Larry Johnson thinks about the crowded running back situation that the Chiefs have
competition
this year. Yeah, I mean, Kareem Hunt's obviously the number one and front-running it, but right. But it's still pretty crowded after that. So
absolutely.
I wonder what he thinks about that.
I want to thank our training camp sponsors, Mosaic Life Care, Missouri Lottery, Metro PCS, Rally House, and Kansas Sampler. Thanks to Charlie Carlin. Thanks to Jed Marshall. I am Brad Porter. You've been listening to Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810, WHB.
This is Sports Saturday on Sports Radio 810 WHB.